before we get to the word, one more song from our praise team as we prepare for the word. I love the hymns of the church. They speak to our predicament and our situation. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come today, it is always our prayer that we might decrease so that you might increase. God, through this word, save someone today, encourage another, and when this time is done, we will give your name all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles available, turn with me to the Gospel as penned by John, Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, verses 11 through 13. John 6, 11, 12, and 13. We'll allow you to see it on the screen as well, but if you have your Bibles, nothing like holding the writ or your tablet and having it for yourself. It reads in verse number 11, Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. I want to preach today from the sermonic title, The Food of Faith. The Food of Faith. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. There are a record number of families in our country and beyond who are going hungry every night. This dilemma brought on in part by the pandemic, coronavirus. We're all familiar with what's going on, and we've seen everybody's lives are being affected. There's a struggle just to make ends meet, a struggle just to put food on the table. Thank God for the food banks that have come alongside, and the church, the organizations and the communities and so many others have stepped up to the plate and said, you know what, I've got something to pass along to you. Isn't that the motto of the early church, that if you need something and I have it, I'll give it to you. Amen. This struggle is real. Back in 1987, I remember being at a place where I was out of work, lost my job, and had to go to unemployment, family to feed. And I got $300 a week. That was just enough to get by. And I thank God for that. But many of us who are watching and listening today say, Reverend, my testimony will top yours. And when you think about the history that you have with God, and yet knowing that God has made a way for you out of no way. You know, through that experience and so many others that we've had in our lives, it did something. It became the food of faith, spiritual food, that through those situations, I don't know about you, but I grew. I was in church more often, Bible study when I didn't used to go, singing in the choir, serving in the community, that through struggle comes spirituality that grows us to the glory of God. The promises are always there. I will never leave you nor forsake you. When your mother and your father have forsaken you, then the Lord will take you up. Amen. In our passage today, we have a number of passages that really talk about Jesus doing what? He is familiar with what's going on with the people. And throughout all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all tell the same miracle story. We love stories about how Jesus provides for those who are in need. And in all four of those Gospels, each one of the writers present to their readers this great miracle story of how Jesus is able to take little and to make much. My God, I think about that in my own life and in your life. He took little you and made something out of you to the glory of God. In the midst of today's miracle, Jesus makes an observation. He calls for obedience, and then we all get to witness what I want to call an overflow. What about the observation? Know that no place was off limits to Jesus. He did not have Uber. He did not have a car or chariot. He would go from place to place, declaring the good news of Jesus Christ. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and turn from your wicked ways. And as believers, we got to be preaching the same message. Well, Reverend, I don't have a degree, but you got Jesus. I'm not a preacher, but you know what he's done for you. Jesus would go from place to place. Before he gets to the setting where he feeds the 5,000, he stops by Bethesda. Some folks say by Bethesda General Hospital, so to speak. But he finds a man who's disabled, who's been there for 38 long years, hoping to be healed. And Jesus says, you know, what have you been waiting for? He said, well, you know, when the water is stirred, no one is there to put me in. He makes excuses, but he picks up his bed and he walks. Jesus saw him and was able to do something about his condition. You know, we have a condition in life. There are things that we're going through that only God can take care of. You know, throughout this pandemic, we keep hearing people with underlying conditions. They're talking health. But when it comes to spirituality, we all have some underlying conditions. Blessed be to God. So in this text, Jesus is watching from the mountain. And he sees the people who've been following him. And their idea of following Jesus is to see more of the signs and wonders. I pray that's not why we follow Jesus. They were looking for something to happen. And they followed him. And then there comes a time where Jesus says to Philip, one of his disciples, he says, you know what? Let's feed the people. And Philip's response is like ours. Well, we don't have the means. We don't have enough money. It would take a half a day's wage just to feed all of the people. And there's some Philip in us that we don't always see the hand of God at work, but know that God is able to do all things but fail. There's some Philip in us. There's some Philip dwelling in our own spirit. John 6:35 tells us, I am the bread of life. Jesus says that. You hungry? I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus sees our need. He saw their need. And the song says, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. And it says this, Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide us till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. Have you ever been in a struggle and nobody else knew what you've been going through? And thank God that Jesus knows exactly what you're facing, even right now. Jesus makes an observation in this miracle story. He sees our situation, but also there's a call for obedience. And we told you about Philip. Also in that text is Andrew. He's a fisherman. And I just want to say, I believe he may have smelled that boy's lunch. You know, he's a fisherman. He know what fish smell like. Amen. And so he goes out and he goes to this young man. I don't know what happened. Most young boys may not have given their lunch up, but God placed them there for the right time. He takes that lunch. But even Andrew questions, how far will this go with so many people? You're talking about 5,000 or more. And that's a legitimate question. You know, the Bible is written in such a way that there's some Andrew in us. Are you telling me that this little carry out, this little drive-through meal, this little grab and go is going to feed how many people? We must understand that we've got to be obedient even when we don't quite get it. And that's called faith. Ever been in a place that in your own natural eyes, you just don't see a way? You don't see it happening, and people can encourage you until the sun go down, but you just don't get it. But God has a way as he works through Jesus Christ for us to be obedient. The first miracle that performed at Cana of Galilee. There's a situation where the wine runs out and people want to know what we're going to do. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, said, Jesus, the wine's run out. He said, and you got to do something about it. And so he gets together with these servants and Mary says, just do what he says. Amen. Just fill the plots. So our plans are not God's plan. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. You ever had your little 5-year plan and you get it all laid out in your 60-day plan and your 90-day plan, and then God comes in and disrupts it? I'm glad he disrupts. So he takes this boy's lunch. He says grace over it. I often kid my grandsons, I'll look at them and say, have you said grace yet? That Jesus knew how to bless some food. And because he blessed it, it was able to multiply. He fed the men. not counting women and children. And Philippians 4:19 says it well, for my God shall do what? Shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's not just another text. That many of you have lived it. You've seen God over and over again supply your needs. There's a call for obedience. Just do what I tell you to do. Amen. Don't question me. I'm God all by myself. And that's great. But in the end, we all get to witness this overflow. After the meal is served, I can see the people now wiping their mouths because that was some good eating. Why? Because Jesus blessed it. And they were obviously very full at that point. And Jesus is focused on the leftovers. Gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. Can I testify? Now, I love some leftovers. If the meal is right, you might get a day or two or three if you store it right. But he says there's something that's left over that cannot be wasted. We can't waste an opportunity to give our hearts to Jesus. We can't waste an opportunity to trust him with all of our heart and soul and to praise him and to give him glory. The leftovers filled 12 baskets to go, all from a little boy's lunch. Just believe that God can and that God will provide. And that's something that you can testify to, that when I did not see how I was going to make it, first when your parents told that, you thought they were making that story up about it being tight. But once you became an adult and you realized that your money got funny, things came up short, but did God not provide for you? I could preach just on that. Did he not bring you through? Did he not make a way? Yeah, he'll supply everything you need. And he'll give you some wants too. And sometimes get a little greedy in God. But won't he take care? He's giving you life, health, and strength. He's giving you peace that passes all understanding. He's giving you joy divine. He's giving you a mind that you can know I've got to serve the Lord.
Yes, sir.
He will provide. Genesis 22:14. You know the story where Abraham goes and takes his son Isaac up to sacrifice him. He was being obedient to God's demand. He goes up and he's preparing to sacrifice him, and he hears a ram in the thicket. And he's, oh, well, I've got a sacrifice now. And we talk about Jehovah Jireh, that he will provide. Won't he come through for you? Every situation you find yourself in, this is food for faith. I'm beyond the fish sandwich. I'm talking about how the Lord will make a way. And you're thinking about next week, God, how am I going to make it? You know what? He's already worked that thing out for you. You're thinking, God, I just know I'm not going to give up, because you can make a way out of no way. God is still providing. He provided his only begotten son. He sent Jesus to provide a way for us. Why? Humanity had lost its mind. Sounds kind of familiar? He will provide in the midst of a pandemic. He will provide when the economy is down. He will provide when things seem like they're drying up. Thank God he will come through and provide for you. That's food for faith. Amen? I'm glad that he came and he bled and he died, but he got up on the third day morning. Can I hear grandma say that? That's still the gospel. That he died, but he rose again, and he's yet providing for us even now. Now, when I grew up, you would get in trouble, might get a beating if you didn't say thank you. Now, somebody might call the house, I just saw Timmy. He didn't say thank you. Oh, my God. Thank you, God, for everything that you have done. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Just say thank you. What does it take to say those two words? Thank you, Lord, for providing for me. One of my favorite scriptures, Psalms 100, it says, you know what? To enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? The Lord is good. Philippians, be careful for nothing but by way of prayer and supplication. There it is again. with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Are you hungry yet? Hungry for a life that counts? Hungry for a life that makes a difference? Or do you have an appetite yet? Amen? That this is not just about the loaves, but about my hunger for Jesus. Yeah, I want to be better. I want to be a Christian in my heart. Well, beloved, that is the word of God today. It's already blessed. And so even now, amen. Hey, thank God for the in-studio praisers. But even now, let's take a moment as we think about this text, as we think about what is displayed even in the biblical writ. I want to offer Christ to you. I'm not some salesman, but I'm an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to let you know that you can receive him as your personal savior. You can do it right now. You can do it over our live stream. You can do it as you're watching Facebook. And as believers, we have to offer Christ to you. Hey, what are you selling? I'm not selling anything. I'm presenting Jesus to you. And only you know whether or not you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The pastor, the preacher, the deacon, the brother, they don't know. Why? They can't get into your head. But today, you can repent of your sins. Today, you can say, Lord Jesus, I want to turn my life over to you. Why? Because you're a provider. See, he's already seen your situation. He's got the blueprints on your life. He knows where you are. You can fool me, I can fool you, but he knows. And what he's asking for now is obedience. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come unto him today and see if he won't overflow your life. Let's bow. Father God, we come in the name of Jesus. Oh, what a joy to know Jesus. What a joy to follow him. God, I pray today that if there's one plugged in, they may get to know you. The Bible says that even when one confesses, angels in heaven throw a major block party on the streets of gold. Do it today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody ought to give God a praise today. We thank the Lord for everything that he's done. Now comes the time that we make transition. We want to certainly observe Holy Communion. So if you need a minute to run back in the kitchen, get your beverage and get that which represents the body of Christ, we'll give you 10.9 seconds to do that. Amen. But we thank God that even though we are not able to meet in person, the Bible says, for as often as you do it, you show forth my death and my suffering till I shall come again. If you're able to join us today, I know there's so many in many places. God bless you, and we're praying for you. And how simple is this, but how powerful is this? The Bible says on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and gave it to his disciples. It says, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. And we do as they did. And then he took the cup and he gave thanks and said, this is my blood, shared for many for the remission of sins. Drink ye all of it. Amen. After that, they went out. Jesus got down from the table and began to wash his disciples' feet. He was showing them servanthood even then. But before we leave today, we're going to come back in a moment with some more information for you. But this past week, I got to talk with a very good friend of mine in Lake City, Florida. That's next to a big place called Live Oak. Eliza Watts Williams is a good friend of this ministry. Her and her mom, we went to school together. But she says, you know what? I said, can you just send us a little something? And so she's going to give us a song. And then we'll come back and close out. Liza, God bless you.
Hello, my name is Christian.
Yeah. Bless be to God. Thank God for Liza Watt Williams from Lake City, Florida, Columbia County, North Florida, outside the big city of Live Oak. Thank you for your gift. We want to let you know that we've enjoyed having you today. There many things are happening. The Rejoice Musical Soul Food Network, what a name for a great ministry. You can catch a link on our site. Mike Chandler, one of my college friends, they're in more than 50 cities and across the world. You get music all the time on any device, and your pastor might pop up on there a few times a week giving seeds of encouragement. I want to let you know, as always, we want to let you be a part of this family. So if you are not receiving updates, you can by going to our site, and we'll be sure to bring you up to speed on what's happening. Appreciate your prayers as always. And of course, giving online, we thank you. That's one way you can give. You can do it right now. Go to our app or even go to our site and can follow instructions. We thank you for your sacrifice for this ministry. And those of you who say, I'm not sure about online, you've been blessing us by way of the U.S. mail service. And of course, a prayer request. If there's something you're going through, you need us to pray, we'll be more than glad to lift you up to the glory of God. Well, it's been a great worship experience. I'm excited about Jesus even now. Are you excited about Jesus even now? If so, give me one of those thumbs. Give me a smiley face. You know what? I'm excited. Rabbi, I can't see you. I can't touch, but I'm excited. Amen? We bless God today. On behalf of the greatest behind-the-scenes team anywhere, that's our Harvest team, thank you for this production. And thank you. Give God the glory. Amen. Have a great moment and day in the Lord.